We're doing in Yaakov. We're up to Daf Lamed Aleph in Gemara Shabbos. We had just learned Reish Lakish quoted the verse from Isaiah, "Vayamunaticha chosin Yeshuot chokhmat vadat," and he showed us how each word in that verse relates to a different order of Shas. Emunah is the order of planting. Itecha, your times, is Moed, the holidays. Chosen, your strength, speaks to, about the order of the women, having children, having a future, your strength. Salvation refers to the laws of damages. We haven't yet defined why. Wisdom is kachim, and knowledge is the laws of purity. And the essence of it all is being a God-fearing person. That's the conclusion of the verse, Yirat Hashem Yotzeho. Coming off of that, the Gemara is going to have a discussion about what happens when a person dies, when his soul goes up to heaven, so the soul undergoes an interview. And they ask the soul, did you accomplish A and B and C and D? So what are those questions? Well, they're going to relate to the six orders of Shas. If the six orders of Shas are a reference to life, they are the encompassing of life, they are the orders of life, so then after death, when they look back on life, that's also going to, those six orders are going to be reflected in the questions. Amar Rava, Rava taught, B'sha'a shemachnisin adam ledin, when they bring a person into his final judgment, omrim lo, they tell him, Nasata v'natata be'emunah, were you faithful, honest in your business dealings? Remember we said emunah is zra'im, when you deal with the planting, so you have to be faithful in your dealings there, tithing correctly, being honest in your dealings with the plans, that your obligations, your taxation, you have to give to the kohen, to the levite, to the poor. So when a person's going to die, they're going to ask him also, were you honest in all your business dealings? Number two, we said there's moed, having set times. Times when the people get together in prayer, they get together to learn, they get together to be family. Kavata itim la Torah. They're going to ask him, did you set up times to learn Torah? We understand the first question was, were you honest in your dealings? Yes, you have to make a living. Right. But you also have to have set times for learning. And so when a person reaches heaven, they're going to ask him, did you have set times for learning? So many people grab a minute here, grab a minute there, and that's great. But we also have to have set times for learning. Kavata itim la Torah. Number three, we said women, that's the future, that's chosen, that's having children, building a family, and so that's the third question they ask him. Asakta bepirya verivya? Did you deal in bringing children to the world? Did you help people find shiduchim and get married and have children? Did you yourself get married and work on building a family? Number four, we said the laws of damages are referred to as yeshuot. So that's the fourth question. Tzipita li yeshua? Were you in anticipation of the salvation that the prophets prophesied about? We said kodshim is called chokhmah, wisdom. So they ask him, pilpalta bechokhmah? Did you delve into the wisdom? And finally we said da'at, real understanding, real knowledge, that's the laws of purity. So that's the final question they ask him, hevanta davar mitoch davar? Did you work to understand the deeper meanings and the derivations and the insights that one can delve into in Torah? Vafilu hachi, and even so, ir'at Hashem otzaro ini lo, lo. The final question is, were you a God-fearing person? Everything is measured by that. That's the final question. That's like the treasure. The Torah is supposed to build up to that. It's interesting. You need that to start in Torah, and as you delve in Torah, so that helps us grow in this area and being a God-fearing person. Yes?
Are these questions that will only be asked to a Jewish soul?
Again?
Are these questions that will only be asked to a Jewish soul?
Seems that way, yes.
Dissolves the ability to love?
Seems that way, yes. We have places in Talmud where it seems that the souls try to lie. And then obviously they're disproven. We see that sometimes souls are silent. They don't always have to answer. They could plead the fifth. And then testimony is brought before them. But we also find that souls try to lie. They try to bend the truth. Yes. Interesting, right? You'd think the soul would be honest.
Yeah, you'd think that they would just tell you these were the things that you're supposed to do, and this is how, in other words, that you'd get a report card.
We'll see. Didn't we see that there is a report card that everyone signs? V'yad kol adam yachtom. Didn't we see that already? Thought we saw that everyone's signature is there. No, it's not here. Thought it was here. That everyone has their signature that's going to testify about them and then. Okay. Mashal la'adam shamar l'shlucho ale likuchitim la'aliyah. It's similar to a person who said to his messenger, do me a favor, take this large volume of wheat up to the attic. Halach ve'elalo. So he worked hard. It took him a while. He took all that wheat up to the attic. Amar le iravta ben kav chumtan. He asked him, did you mix in some salty earth that will prevent it from becoming wormy? Amar le lav. He says, no. Amar le mutav no elita. He tells him, then you shouldn't have bothered taking it up, because it's obviously going to all become wormy. The only point of having all that wheat up there is if I've ensured that it won't become wormy. That's what learning Torah is to being a God-fearing person. You have all the wheat. The only way to ensure it remains good wheat is to be a God-fearing person, because otherwise the Torah can be wormy. The Torah a person learns can be aborted. A person can misapply it. The fact that he has knowledge does not ensure that he will have proper application or proper understanding. And we saw this in the Chazon Ish as well. So being a God-fearing person is that integral component.
Well, doesn't it also mean that you might get proper understanding and knowledge, but you might not be a part of it? Right?
Could be. But I would go further. And that's what Chazon Ish stressed, that there's a sensitivity that has to develop that can only develop in conjunction with being a God-fearing person. You need that balance between knowledge and being a God-fearing person, and together you can grow in that sensitivity. Tana de Rabbi Ishmael. Before we continue, I would add one more point. Perhaps one of the dangers in learning Torah is our own egos. Perhaps the reason it's so important to be a God-fearing person is because we have to be honest and strive for the truth. And very often, misguided ego or an ego that's not being placed in check will get in the way of seeing the truth. Because, for example, if when I'm learning I want to have the chiddush, I want to be able to come up with something new, so then I'm looking for that satisfaction. And in many areas that we deal in life, when our goals are tainted, that comes across. And it impacts what we do. So there are levels of purity, obviously. It's not an all or nothing deal. But the greater the levels, so the more a person can hit the nail on its head and get to the truth. We know that humility goes hand in hand with honesty, which goes hand in hand with being a God-fearing person. The three are three components that overlap. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble, and therefore he could have the greatest perception of God, because he was not busy with seeing himself in everything. When a person has an ego, so the more distorted his ego, the more he tries to see himself in everything. And that gets in his way of seeing the truth. Then God is getting in his way, so to speak. The more humble a person is, so Moshe Rabbeinu can see God directly as a human can see him, because he's not getting in his own way. And the same might be part of this idea in learning halacha correctly. This idea is also relevant in bringing up children. When our focus is on being a good parent or a good educator, we stand a better chance at doing what's right. So you'll ask yourself, when is that not our focus? And the answer is many times. Sometimes you want to feel like your son is succeeding. That has nothing to do with education. I want to feel like he is a success. Sometimes a parent feels guilty. He hasn't been giving his child enough attention. So suddenly he wants to make up for something lost. If he's working out of guilt, again, he's not working with the intention of what's good for the kid. He's working to placate himself. So there are many times where, as a parent, we're dealing with the situation, but we're dealing with it with a certain partiality which gets in our way. The fact that I'm guilty doesn't mean that the solution is placating myself. And sometimes I'm going to buy the child things and pamper and spoil the child, and I won't rebuke the child, and I won't do what I really have to do as a parent. And it's not because I've made the right decisions and thought out what's right for this kid right now. It's because right now I'm at a place where I can't do different. I feel badly because I wasn't there for him at the graduation. I wasn't there for him when he needed help getting ready for that math test. So he comes home and he has a 50. So is it my fault or his fault? Maybe it's my fault, maybe it's his fault. But if I feel guilty, I won't be able to see that that 50 might be his fault. Right away, I'm dealing with my problem because I feel bad. I should have studied with him for that test. So I can tell him, you know, you're going to do better next time. Don't worry about it. Maybe that's not the right reaction. Maybe the right reaction is to ask him, why do you think you got that 50? And maybe he'll say, I wasn't focused. You know, I was playing with the kid sitting next to me over the last 3 weeks. And maybe it wasn't my responsibility to fix his mistake. So very often in parenting, the same concept arises where we have to question ourselves, am I doing this because this is educationally correct for the kid, or am I doing it because I need it? And very often as parents, we fall into that trap. Tana de Be'er B'Yishmael, we have a quote from the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael. The ratio of this salty earth to the grain is one kav to a kur. So a kur has 30 se'ah. And a se'ah has 6 kav. So it's a ratio of 1 to 180.
How much is
a kav? A kav is 24 eggs. That's so one. That's about a liter and a half. Okay, so it's 180. It's a ratio of 1 to 180. Now the idea is, you're selling it by volume or by weight. So how could, let's say by volume. So how could you mix in, how much earth are you allowed to mix in? The answer is, that's the ratio that's fair. That's the ratio that's a norm. You know, the United States, the FDA, has a chart. How many bugs can you have within the fruits and vegetables you sell? Because when you're selling large quantities, when you're reaching tons of food, so then that the amount of bugs you can sell within your fruit makes a huge difference, not only because of the pesticide use, but also because they carry a weight, excuse the pun. Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Torah V'en Bo Yirat Shamayim, all man who has Torah and does not have the fear of heaven. Dome legizbar, he is similar to a treasurer. Shemasru lo maftechot apnimim, they gave him the keys to the inner chambers. Umaftechot chitzonim lo matzu bo, Lo Masura, and they didn't give him the keys to the outer doors. So he has the keys for the inner chambers, but he can't get to them. So this guy has Torah, that's the inner chambers, but he can't access his Torah correctly because he doesn't have the fear of heaven. The high eyes, how's he ever going to access it? So here you see that the fear of heaven is considered the precursor to Torah. Beforehand we saw that the fear of heaven is the goal, so to speak. Torah leads you to it. So that's what we said. It's both. You need a certain element of awe of heaven before you can start Torah. And then through the Torah you evolve to a greater level of Yirat Shamayim. Yes?
It could also perhaps be seen that he's inside and he can't get up.
Ah. Okay, but the Talmud said, Behai Ayil. How will he get in? So.
Get in what?
Get into the inner storage houses. He has the key to the inner chambers, but he doesn't have the key to the outer doors. Machiz Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai used to declare. Rabbi Yanai was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan. Chaval leidauta vetara leidauta avid. It's so sad. A person doesn't have a house, but he's building a door for the house. Amar Rav Yehuda lo bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tolam Ola kedei sheyiru milfanav. Rav Yehuda said, God created the world for one purpose alone, and that is that people should have awe of Him, as the verse says, V'elokim asa sheyiru milfanav. So we've had long discussions of this. What does that mean? Why did God create the world, etc.? Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Elazar, Havu Yatve. The two rabbis were sitting, Chalif Azil, Rabbi Yaakov Baracha. Rabbi Yaakov Baracha was walking back and kept passing them. Amalechad lechavrei neko mekamei. So one said to the other, let's stand out of respect for him. Degvar dechil chatainu. He is a man who fears sin. Amaleidach neko mekamei. The other one said, let's stand out of respect for him. Degvar bar uyanhu. Because he is a man who... he teaches Torah on our level. He can give a halachic ruling on our level. He said to him, I told you he's a God-fearing person. He fears sin. And you told me he's a man who's worthy of giving a halachic ruling? Aren't you diminishing his honor? It would seem obvious that Rabbi Eliezer is the one who said that he is a man who fears sin. The thing God has in this world, so to speak, is the fear of heaven. As the verse says, God says, what do I ask of you? The only thing I need you to do is to be a God-fearing person. I control everything else, but you control how much fear of heaven you're going to have. V'chtiv in the verse says, V'yom al-adam en-irat Hashem y'chokhma, she'ken b'lishon yivani k'rin l'achat hin. So Rabbi Elazar is the one that says that the sole thing that God values in the world, that that's, so to speak, the one thing we can offer Him, that's the awe of heaven. And if Rabbi Elazar is the one that said that, it seems to make sense that he's the one who praised Rabbi Yaakov Baracha as a man who fears sin. And the Gemara says, Tistayim. It's worth noting that in this Gemara, we went from fear of sin to fear of God to fear of heaven, with the assumption that they're all synonymous. So at first glance, that would seem to support that assumption. If we were learning more in depth, we would have to wonder why we have these three different terms: fear of sin, fear of God, and fear of heaven. Okay, so what did we learn today? We learned the six names of the orders of Shas. We learned that that same verse reflect six questions that were asked when we reach heaven, plus the final one about the fear of heaven. We discussed the idea that without the fear of heaven, it's like having a lot of wheat, but without the protection from vermin, so that wheat gets rotten. So Torah without the fear of heaven is going to be rotten. We discussed the idea that in business, you can also mix in that earth that protects from vermin into your wheat, even though you're making money as though that were wheat. You know, it's calculated as part of the volume, but it's a ratio of 1 to 180. We discussed the idea that Torah without the fear of heaven, it's like having the inner keys, the keys to the inner chambers. Without the outer chambers, you're never going to get there. You want to get to Torah, fear of heaven precedes it. And then we said that that was the purpose of creation, and that that's the one thing that God says, I'm asking of you, human beings, that is the fear, the awe, the respect of heaven.